We will continue the presentation of the keys. Key number 9, Adam was trying to guess it earlier when we were having some ice cream together. He guessed about a half a dozen things, didn't quite get it. Key number 9 is energy follows thought. Okay. What does that mean, energy follows thought? Let's have a comment on that by some wise person here. Do you think that's true? Does energy follow thought? Right. Well, Ed's got something to say.
Well, in a way, you could say it's part of the Trinity.
Yeah?
The will.
Thought?
The will.
Thought is closely connected with the third ray. Okay. Let's go back to the beginning, before there was any physical universe. Now, scientists tell us this physical universe is 13.7 billion years old. The way scientists figured this out is they studied the motion of the different galaxies and stars within the galaxies. And the different galaxies seem to be moving away from each other at a certain speed. So they say, well, let's reverse engineer this and see what would happen if we reverse the speed and go back to where everything apparently began. And when they did that, they figure 13.7 billion years ago, everything originated from one point. And that kind of baffles them. And they figure that point was probably smaller than an atom. Just a really tiny point the whole universe was in. Could you imagine even the Earth being condensed to a point, let alone the Sun? And there's over 200 billion suns in our galaxy. And then there's billions of galaxies in the known universe. And who knows how many in the unknown universe. Okay, so the number is just fantastic. And even science has come up with the idea that it, by reverse mathematics and calculations, they calculated everything come from a point of almost infinitesimal size, smaller than an atom. Can you imagine that? And they think that religious people are out to lunch when they just say God created the universe. But the scientific explanation of the creation of the universe is just as hard to believe as anything in the Bible or presented in the East or anywhere else. So that's pretty fantastic. How in the world did something explode into the Big Bang that was the size of an atom that made the whole universe? Well, they don't know. And what existed before? They don't know. Okay? But they believe this, which is just as magical as any religious explanation. But the metaphysical explanation is that before there was form as we know it, there was thought. There was the life of God. The life of God was composed, and we were there. We were there as points of light that were joined with other points of light to create all that there is. And we had a consciousness that we shared with the life of God, so we shared with all there was. So we participated in the creation of everything that has ever been created. And so how things were created were by the power of thought. And when thought is placed a certain location or a certain direction, then energy develops. Now, the amount of energy in matter is just tremendous. Do you know the amount of matter that produced the energy that created the bomb that exploded in Hiroshima?
couple ounces.
No, not that much.
Size of a baseball?
How much?
The size of a baseball?
No, a lot smaller than that. How much actual matter did it take? How many ounces do you think, or grams, to create the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima? Wasn't ounces.
Grams?
Maybe 2 grams.
Right. If I remember right, it was 2 grams.
Mm-hmm. How much?
It was 2 grams, if I remember right.
2 grams.
Yeah. But it was just a small amount.
Strange.
If you take a plane ticket, that plane ticket, if it was converted to energy, it could fly the plane around the Earth many, many, many times. It's amazing how much energy is in matter. And this matter and everything we have know about was produced by thought. And in our godlike state that we were in at the beginning of all things, all we had was thought. And so we use this power of thought to create everything there is, and we must have been pretty intense thinkers. Matter of fact, they say there's even energy in vacuum, in a vacuum. In a total vacuum where a zero point is reached, there are a lot of theories that an infinite amount of energy could be taken from it if we just knew how to do it. And so it's amazing how much energy is available. But the energy available in the universe is unlimited because what is unlimited? Thought. Thought is unlimited. Thought is unlimited, so the energy that was created with thought is also unlimited. Now, how can we apply this principle in our lives? Energy follows thought. Okay, let's pick a person from the time he was young, and he starts to learn how to think. He gets a vocation, and he puts his thought into learning how to do something to make a living. He puts his thought into drawing a certain type of mate. And have you ever noticed that you draw into your lives people that vibrate a lot according to your own vibration and according to your own thinking? Like if you have somebody in your life that you do not like, the worst thing you can do is give them a lot of thought. You're sending a lot of energy their direction, and so they will keep popping up again and giving you problems. It was funny when if you noticed, if you've ever been through a divorce, at first you keep bumping into your ex-spouse all the time because you're still thinking about her or him somewhat. But then as time goes by, you never see him again, okay, because you stop thinking about him. And they just disappear from your lives. This is the way it is with people that come and go into your life. If you give them a lot of thought, good or bad, they will keep showing up again. If you tune them out so as if they do not exist, then they will start just to disappear because they're not in your consciousness. If they're in your consciousness, you will start seeing them. If they're out of your consciousness, then they will start fading away. Now, sometimes they kind of will try to elbow their way back into your consciousness. And if this happens, what you do is you just tune them out. Tune them out as if they are not even there. Does anybody here have a person in their life they want to get rid of? You want to get rid of her?
No.
Now he's pointing to her.
No, I have experienced what you're talking about. My former spouse has
You can relate to that?
Oh, very seriously.
You tune them out or call the cops?
I tune them out. I've had to actually call the police on him. I've never thought that I would have to do that in my life. But last year, just after Thanksgiving, I had moved the year prior, or no, it was in June prior, and he did not have any idea of where I lived. He didn't know my address. I blocked him on all avenues. And all of a sudden, he shows up on my landlord's doorstep asking if that's where I lived.
Really?
Yes. And so he had found my address. He sought it out. And so I wasn't home at the time. Sean actually had dropped me off to get my car. And anyway, long story short, I called the police, reported it. He was called. He gave up some lame excuse why he was there. He was told not to come back or he would be charged with criminal trespassing. He came back this last year, about a month ago, showed back up just after my daughter and her husband were coming to visit. Oh, I didn't know you were coming. And anyway, I called the police again. I mean, for my first instinct is, no, I don't want to press charges, but you know what? I need him to stop. I need him to go about his peaceful life and leave me be. And so that's, I said, yep, I actually do. And so that's my way of telling him, you've again crossed the boundary and you need to go away and live a peaceful life. And so.
And he's away enough that you don't have to think about him anymore.
Oh, I mean,
except for right this minute.
The only time I ever think about him is when he does stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He actually called my brother and said, texted my brother, and I did a stupid thing. And my brother texted him back and said, stop doing stupid things.